This is from Deuteronomy. Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Vai ahavta et Adonai Elohecha b'kol levecha uvechol nafshecha uvechol meodecha. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And from Leviticus, Ve'ahavta le're'aha komacha. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. In our gospel reading this morning, we hear Jesus quote Moses' statement about the first commandment from Deuteronomy. Jesus' second commandment is found in Leviticus. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And I have to confess that I always thought that love your neighbor as yourself originated with Jesus, but it's firmly rooted in the Torah, in Leviticus. These two scripture passages together provide a summary of Jesus' mission and ministry. In quoting the Shema, Jesus points out that the aim of the law is to orient one's entire life towards God. However, one cannot love God without loving what God loves. One cannot love God and oppress or exclude any of God's creatures, even one's enemies. Meister Eckhart wrote, "Some people want to see God as they see a cow, and to love God as they love their cow, for the milk and cheese and profit it brings them. These are people who love God for the sake of outward wealth or inward comfort. We do not rightly love God when we love God for our own advantage." And he continues, "Any object you have in mind, however good, will be a barrier between you and the inmost truth." Jesus is asserting that love is a test of one's true understanding of the law. What is it like to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself? It's such a simple statement, but in reality, it is so difficult to truly practice. The English language does a disservice to the concept of love. With only one word, the Greeks had eight. Eros, you're familiar with that, that's passionate sexual love. Philia is affectionate love towards friends. Storge is familiar love, like parents have for their children and children for their parents. Ludus, it's a playful love like young lovers have. Mania, that leads a partner into a type of madness and obsessiveness. Pragma, or enduring love. I love this one. A love that has aged, matured, and developed over time. It is beyond the physical, it has transcended the casual, and it is a unique harmony that has formed over time. I think I heard Anne talking about that. Then there's agape, which is selfless love. It's the highest and most radical type of love and the purest form of love. It is free from desires and expectations and loves regardless of the flaws and shortcomings of others. Agape is the love that is felt for that which we intuitively know as the divine truth. The love that accepts, forgives, and believes for our greater good. And the last one, and this was a new one to me, philosia, or self-love. The Greeks understood that in order to care for others, we must first learn to care for ourselves. It is self-love in its healthiest form. It is only when we have the strength to love ourselves and feel comfortable in our own skins that we will be able to provide love for others. That is a lot of love, and many manifestations of love. And I'm wondering if the last two, agape and philosia, are the ones that are referred to in Scripture for us all to emulate. What about self-love? How can we love our neighbors as ourselves if we don't love ourselves? There's often a lot of misinterpretation around self-love, mostly around self-denial. In Sunday school, as I imagine some of you were taught, first you love God, then others, and you put yourself last. I think this is faulty teaching, and it can lead to a lot of problems. The idea of letting oneself be a doormat and people walk all over you. Some people really struggle with loving themselves. And yet, if God loves us, isn't it possible for us to love ourselves? And if this is problematic, isn't God just the one to help us transition into self-love? I wonder if we can truly love others until we love ourselves, until we are so filled with love that it pours out of us. In Scripture, love of oneself is neither praised nor condemned, but merely taken for granted. Our patron, Saint Francis, embodied these two commandments. He nursed lepers, a task avoided by most, and to do this he had to beg for food on their behalf and feed them. He served all of them with great love. He washed all the filth from them and cleansed their sores. His care meant more than merely not showing revulsion. It meant a willingness to be with them precisely because they were outcast. Francis took the standard of the gospel literally, to minister to the needy, the lonely, the outcast. He loved them as he loved himself, and as God loved him. And paradoxically, in nursing the world's outcasts, Francis began to rise to the general nobility that he had once sought as a youth, which was discovered not in armor or in titles or battles, glory or contests. Honor would not be found in associating with the strongest, the most attractive, the best dressed, or the most secure people in society, but with the weakest, the most disfigured, those who are marginalized, dependent, and despised. This week, we are wrapping up our stewardship witness. In addition to the ministries of this parish and the upkeep of our building, we want to tithe, allocate 10% of our budget for social outreach. We do this in the name of the one who taught us how to love. So, Jesu, Jesu, fill us with your love. Show us how to serve the neighbors we have in you. Neighbors are rich and poor, varied in color and race. Neighbors are near and far away. These are the ones we should serve. These are the ones we should love. All these are neighbors to us and you. Loving puts us on our knees, serving as though we were slaves. This is the way we should live with you. Jesu, Jesu, fill us with your love. Show us how to serve the neighbors we have from you. Amen. Amen.